Welcome to Tell Me About It on WUFT 89.1 and 90.1. I'm Sue Wagner here today with the development director of Operation Catnip. Her name is Leah Hawes, and she is providing or helping to provide a wonderful service to the Gainesville and North Central Florida community. And catnip is just what you think it might be. They spay and neuter cats, feral cats primarily. And if you've ever seen a cat in the somewhere in town where it has a little clip on its ear, that's an Operation Catnip cat. It's a very valuable service to the community because there's an overpopulation program of pets, especially certain times of the year, I would think, during breaks from the university or other times of year. So, Leah, tell us a little bit more about Operation Catnip, like when it started and exactly what you do.
Absolutely. And thank you for the warm intro and the warm welcome. I'm very grateful to be here. And as you said, yes, my name is Leah, and I'm the development director here at Catnip. In Catnip, we work within spaying and neutering the unowned cats in the community cats that you see outside, the ones, the feral cats that live outside, the ones that are contributing to our huge population. We work within those clouders is what we call them, and we work with the caregivers that feed them, and we're able to do no-cost spay and neuter and vaccines. And we've been doing this since 1998.
So do you go out and trap the cats and bring them in, or do people bring them to you? How does it work?
Most commonly, because the best trapper is always going to be the one that's feeding the cats. The cat builds the best trust, especially feral cats. And feral is such a wide variety of different types of cats, a different spectrum of fearful and feral. But whoever has the best relationship with them typically is the best trapper. And what we do is that we loan out our traps. So a caregiver can come in, rent out a trap from us at our trap depot, and then we're able to help them trap that cat, teach them how to do it, and then they can go in and feed the cats and get the cat trapped and then bring it in the next day or the day after. And we're able to do the spay and neuter. For different types of situations, there's different types of things that we react to. So we have some deployments every once in a while. We go out every quarter, and we get to see the cats in the community that couldn't come to us for whatever reason, maybe either the person is disabled, there's no reliable car transportation, there's gaps in resources, whatever the case may be, the cats are still there and they're still overpopulating. So we can go out and do big deployments. And me and my coworker Autumn, we did a big deployment in Lake City a while ago, about 77 cats. And then we will come and bring those all in, do a big spay neuter day, and then release them back into their individual locations. We don't do it as often as we like because we have a lot of things that we got on our plates. So typically caregivers come and bring them to us, but we work with whoever has the cats, wherever the need is, we see what we can do.
How far is your reach in Florida?
We work within so many places in North Central Florida. I would say we haven't gone down to South Florida, but we're all over the top half of the state.
That's quite extensive.
Yeah.
And you were talking about feral and fearful cats. What defines a feral cat?
Absolutely. Feral cats, that word is thrown out a lot, just cats that live outside that you can't typically handle. They resemble wild animals to certain people. And feral still needs to be spayed and neutered and vaccinated, especially with the rabies situations going on in Alachua County. We want to make sure that we're getting that handled and making sure that rabies isn't transmitted to other people, other animals. And when it comes to feral cats, we find that once we get them into a safe environment where they're no longer feeling whatever pain they were, the insecurity that they were feeling, a lot of them open up to us with time. You get to watch this cat go from being so scared, so defensive, so feral, some might say, and then go into more of a scared environment. And then the more that they trust you, that's a kind, sweet cat. We've seen it happen many times over. And there's also situations where that doesn't happen, where the cat is feral and is fearful and does not want to interact with any sort of adoption conversation or attacks. Or our goal is to get it healthy, safe, and then we release it back to where it was from, wherever is happiest.
And is it kittens as well as older cats?
Yes, we also work within kittens, especially with the kittens. Kitten summers are hard, man, especially all over the country. Kitten summers. It's warm. They're out and about. They're mating. They're creating kittens. And in Florida, where our seasons are a little bit different, we see a lot of kittens. So for kittens, they're a lot easier sociable. We're able to work with whoever either found them. And they're able to foster them in our kitten shelter diversion, because our goal is just to get these kittens out of the shelter. There's so many of them. And as we heard from your guest from Alachua County Humane Society, she was talking about how fragile kittens are. And she's absolutely right. Kittens are so, so fragile. So they're easy to get sick. If one gets sick, that whole group is so easy to get sick. And once you bring sickness into an environment, it's easy to stress out the other cats and their immune system tanks. Our goal is to keep these kittens out of the shelters, out of those resources, so that they can actually use the resources for what they have what they actually need. There's so many dogs out there that we don't work with that need support, especially big dogs these days. But with the kittens, we're able to do the kitten shelter diversion program. We get them spay and neutered a little bit earlier so that they can get into adoptable homes, indoor homes, without an ear tip as soon as possible. So that those cats are going to indoor homes, they're not contributing to the overpopulation issue, they're not outdoor cats, they're not going to continue the route of unsocialization and scared and fearful of other humans. We do a lot of work to make sure that they're sociable and sweet cats so that we get them into shelters, into homes, into our friends, sometimes our own houses if they're too cute.
Or your office, as you mentioned earlier, yeah.
Yeah, we have a critical care program. So any cats that are from outside, kittens included, that are having a hard time, they're just not thriving. They are in, because especially with like fighting wounds, if they're not spayed or neutered, they get the fights. The testosterone is rampant. I mean, they're going to go, male cats can go 9 miles a day to go search out a mate. So if you're like, how did my cat get pregnant? I haven't even seen a male cat. Yeah, they're coming. They're coming at night at 9 miles. They're wandering. And so getting that issue fixed and then dealing with any of the other issues that is a result of it, any fight wounds, any amputations needed, any car accident situations, anything with a critical care, they go into our critical care unit. So they stay with us, whether that be in one of our offices, one of our sidelines, one of our shorelines, and they get the help that they need. They get treatment for a huge bite like Frankie had, and he went back outside because that's where he was happy. But he wanted to make sure that we wanted to make sure that he was healthy and in a good enough position to do so and neutered. And so we have a different programs for each cat that needs it. So if it's in a critical condition, they'll stay with us until they're not.
That's great. And do you have a network of fosters that are on hand to come and take the cats as long as necessary?
Absolutely. We have such a great community. And especially whoever finds the kittens, we always try to empower them to be able to foster the kittens. Why we do the medical side, because we're doing the worms, the rabies vaccinations, whatever they're old enough to take, we'll make sure to get them. And then we can equip them with whatever they need, just like the Humane Society, whether that be beds.
You provide food if necessary, too.
Foods, if absolutely.
Probably
food,
cat litter.
We can rack our stores and see what you need to make sure that you have everything you need. Dog crates so that we can keep the cats separate, because so many fosters, one of the issues is, I already have animals. I don't want them in touch with my animals, especially if they're sick. You don't want them interacting. We can create these environments that they're going to be safe and put aside to comfortably recover, no matter the situation. And if this person that found them can't foster, we have an amazing network. We are friends with so many different resource centers. There's Animal Defenders in Gainesville that will do emergency fosters for us. We have our own people on staff that it's hard to say no to a cute kitten that needs a couple days. We will find whatever space we can to work with this cat.
And I guess one of the most important things is the service is of no charge.
Yeah. We are a no-charge facility. We rely strictly on donor support and grant funding that we apply for, any scholarships that I can get us in. Our job is to make sure that we're not putting too much of a burden on people that already can't afford to feed 14 cats. It's already an expensive endeavor.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many gaps in care. Like, so many people that have owned cats, bringing their cats into vets is already an expensive situation. And
so it's not, you make it affordable,
make it affordable.
They will come and help. We're going to take a quick break, but give us the web address so people can find out more information, and then also your physical location, because it's kind of it's not a new place, but it's a different place.
Absolutely, yes. So our website is going to be operationcatnip.org. Please go visit us there, see all of our testimonials, see what we do. And then our address is 912 Northeast 2nd Street in the Duck Pond area.
That's great. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Tell Me About It on WUFT 89.1 and 90.1. I'm Sue Wagner here today with Leah Haas, and she is from Operation Catnip. And we just want to correct that web address to make sure that everyone can find them. It's ocgainesville.org. And do you have a phone number people can call as well?
Absolutely. Let me pull that up for you. Right.
And you're located in the Duck Pond area?
Yes, it's a new location.
Downtown Gainesville. It's just off Main Street and 10th Avenue. And it's, to me, more convenient than your previous location.
Me too. I love our location. And our phone number is 352-380-0940.
Okay, so people can call with any questions.
Absolutely.
Or leave a message and you'll get back with them. So what is the process? I know you said that, I remember it used to be one weekend day a month, but now you said it's up to three times a week?
Yes, we used to do one big clinic at the vet school that was on our early days, and even in the early days of Operation Catnip, we were in with the Humane Society at their location. So we were like a double door situation. We have a catio still over there even. But as we've grown and as we've gotten bigger, we've had the space to be able to make our, to use a new building, to have this new building, and to include more clinics so that we can serve more cats.
And you have one veterinarian on staff, but then she trains students from shelter medicine at the UF College of Veterinary Medicine.
Absolutely. Miss Dr. V is our new doctor. She's amazing. She has a great job. She's from Talispay, and we're so grateful to have her here. And she is our number one medical director. She does a lot of the spays and neuters, and she trains our vet students. So vet students that come from all over, they come from shelter med, and we have vet students from all over the country that come to visit us, and they're able to train with her. And after about 6 lessons of how to do a spay, how to do a neuter, she's able to watch them and they do the spays and neuters. We have vet students that have over 100, 500 surgeries under their belt through working and volunteering with Operation Catnip. They earn that experience, they learn how to do it. And then after vet school, they are well prepared for whatever career field they're gonna go into. And we always hope it's gonna be in shelter med after working with us and seeing how much impact it really does for these type of animals. And it's just so exciting because at the university, I feel like they get 1 or 2 surgeries and that's it for their graduation. They are able to go into the field as vets with 1 or 2 surgeries, which that's what they're able to do in this program. But if they volunteer with us, they have so many more different types of surgery.
Yeah.
Yes. We do amputations. We do enucleations where we remove the eye. We do hernia repairs. Anything that you open up and you see it's inside is a training opportunity.
Yeah. So it's more than just fixing the cats.
Absolutely.
Wow. And so if you bring them in, like you have the 3 days a week, they come in the morning, then you pick them up later in the day, or do they stay for a while?
So we have a drop-off the night before and the drop-off the morning of. Depends whatever works with the trapper, because trapping cats is an art. Sometimes you got to work at it all night.
Well, trust me, I know.
Yeah. And they're able to bring in the cats in the morning. We get them all throughout intake. We do pre-op. We do the weights. We check on any critical care cases. We get a history to see if there's anything we should watch out for. We're able to do the surgeries. They end around 2 to 3 p.m., and then we like 2 hours for them to wake up from surgery to be cognizant, normal, happy, making sure that everything was looking good there. And then they're able to go into back to their caregivers. And we ask that they stay in the either the carrier or the trap for the night of, just because they're a little disoriented. It's just we don't want to release a cat and it doesn't know where it is. We like to just keep them in the trap overnight, feed it in the trap, and then release it in the morning. And then they're able to continue their lives a lot safer and a lot happier.
And I know that the service is free, but you probably need donations
Absolutely.
Of different items, and you probably need volunteers as well.
Absolutely.
What
We'd
kind of donations volunteers. Do you want people? I know money is always a good thing, but are there other supplies that they can donate?
Absolutely. We always appreciate a donation. We try to get a donation around 20 per cat. That's our goal, is to make sure that we're keeping afloat that way with our monetary donations. But if there's any other way you would like to donate, your time, your resources, we have so many different opportunities within volunteering, whether that be laundry, whether that be getting us ready in the morning for discharge, for intake, for, and if you're over 18, you can work in the clinic. You're able to, and if you're rabies vaccinated, you can even do more stuff in the clinic. So there's so many different opportunities.
If you're rabies vaccinated.
Yeah. We want to make sure you're rabies vaccinated, but if you are, you can handle all sorts of cats, and it's, we want to make sure that everyone's being safe and healthy, but we want to make sure that we get as much hands-on training as we can. And then when it comes to other things we need, we always, if you have any other cats items that you're not in the use of anymore that you're looking to donate, we'll always take some off of our, to help the people that are doing fosters, that have cats at home, for caregivers, any items like that. We have an Amazon wish list that you can find on our website. There's so many different options if you're willing to donate your time, your resources, or any financial gain. And we really appreciate every single one.
So this started in 1998, but it has grown significantly since that beginning. And you said it's probably a model for other places in the country?
Yes. We have so many amazing programs that other people don't really realize of other programs, because other life-saving resources that we work with in Florida. And Jacksonville is doing their own working cat program soon, and that's super exciting.
What's a working cat?
Working cat is a cat that we came in from the outdoor environment but wasn't thriving for whatever reason. Either the environment wasn't safe, they weren't doing well in that environment. Often cats get dumped, and people think that they see a bunch of cats and they're like, oh, this cat will be fine with it. They have a hierarchy, they have a structure. This one cat's gonna get bullied. This one cat's not gonna do well. It doesn't know where it is. So there's lots of situations where this cat just is not doing well, but is not suited for an adoptable indoor home. It's not gonna go into someone's apartment very well. It needs some space to decompress. It needs someone to understand them a little bit differently. And these cats come off of the euthanasia list either for not being sociable in the shelter that they were in, or behavioral issues. And we have this big catio that they are able to decompress in for about 2 to 3 weeks. They find a friend. We usually match them up with friends. And then they go into different working cat environments like barns, farms, businesses.
Oh, I see.
The jungle sanctuary we just got four adopted to. And they do pest control. They do. Yeah, they work.
They're pretty good at pest control.
Absolutely. And they love their trusted person. And it's just a different environment than putting them in a shelter and hoping that the cat in the corner that's scared is going to get adopted, because often that's not the case. And then often that cat's sick for a long time, and then that cat has a different fate.
Well, yeah.
It's just it's another option. And these cats are so – we've had 162 working cats adopted out in this year.
That's really amazing, because, I mean, I do see them at businesses, mm-hmm. and just never thought that – just the business owners brought them in. Mm-hmm. But a barn, I can see that. I can see it in a nursery type thing too, garden center and stuff.
I often see them there.
Or Ace Hardware.
Come on, you need a cat to pick out your paint. There's always that.
Yeah, they're usually sitting by the paint chips.
They are. They love to paint.
Yeah. So they're very informative too.
They are.
So it's really fun. Well, we've got the catnip covered here, and we've got the working cats. It's a great organization all the
really
way
is.
Around. And thank you for sharing information. We want to help people get more information. You said on the website it talks about how to be a volunteer, mm-hmm. the services you have. What else? What other information is there?
Absolutely. On our website, you'll see a lot of information, but follow us on social media. See what we're doing. See what events we have coming up.
What accounts do you have?
We have Instagram and Facebook and TikTok.
There you go. And people can see exactly everything you do. And
all the stories.
And I'm assuming that you're open year-round?
We are open year-round. We have a couple. We're open between those clinic days, so the Tuesday and the Saturday.
Okay. So that's your weekly schedule.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, cool. And what are the hours that people can come in? Pretty much morning sometime?
Morning. I believe it's Tuesday is 11 to 4, and then every other day is 7 a.m. to 5.
Okay. And I know that you participate in some events throughout the year. That
yes.
information would be on the website as well?
Absolutely. We just did the Giving Tuesday. It went amazingly. We're so amazed by the generosity of our community. We have such an amazing community. And there's so many people that don't know about us. I'm from Newberry originally, and I wasn't aware of this program. And I'm from an area that had lots of outdoor cats. So if you're in a position that you're in Florida, in North Florida, especially in Alachua County, and you have these outdoor cats that you don't know what to do with, that you feel that not necessarily my responsibility, but it's not their responsibility, it's just a cat that lives outdoors, you have options. You have us. Please reach out to us. We'd be happy to help you. So if anyone has lapses in resources, anyone needs some support with their cats, come find us cat people.
That's great. So it's ocgainesville.org,
yes.
Operation Catnip, and Leah Hawes is the development director. And thank you so much for coming in today and getting the word out. And we're going to make sure our community, we'll follow up with you to make sure we have updates.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, and thank you for this amazing opportunity. I'm very lucky to speak with you and everyone out here today.
Well, thanks for coming.
Thank you.
That was Leah Hawes, Development Director of Operation Catnip, on today's episode of Tell Me About It. To listen to previous episodes of the show, go online at wuft.org/tellmeaboutit or on the WUFT media app. I'm Sue Wagner on Tell Me About It on WUFT.